Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund, and I am live in Michigan Stadium, where Washington was defeated by Michigan 31-10 in front of an announced attendance of a little over 108,000. Game time, 3:28, and it was electric here inside the stadium, guys. I don't know if you could tell what was going on inside the stadium, but this crowd in the stadium was energized from the get-go. I'd say the stadium was about half full an hour before the game. It was a maze out, so all the Michigan fans were in a maze color. So really cool atmosphere in the stadium today. And boy, Washington, they didn't handle that well. They didn't handle much well today.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't at all. I mean, from the start to finish. Kim, I know you were with us when we went to Ohio State in 2003, when it was Keith Gilbertson's first game as that Washington head coach. And I felt a lot of the same vibes, even though I wasn't there. It just felt like, you know, I'm writing about it right now, but it felt like damage limitation from the very, very first drive. It was like, well, we'll just try to make sure that we play field position. We don't turn the ball over. We'll try to keep it close, let our defense try to work as best they can, and hopefully the dam won't break too soon. But then, you know, maybe we can get a turnover or two or something to go our way. Maybe there's a sudden change play that'll turn our fortunes around. But the offense, the first half, looked so horrific. I mean, it was really, really hard to watch because it's just an offense that just doesn't look right. It just doesn't look right. It's like an anachronism. It looks like it should be. And again, I'm not saying this like that's anything new, but it just feels like it's an offense that you would have seen in the 70s. And so,
it's
horrible.
This is the offense Jimmy wanted. He wanted the identity of a team that's able to run the football, overpower you, out physical you. And when that's the identity that you're trying to establish on a team and you can't run the football and you're getting hit in the mouth by the other guy consistently, that's not an easy recipe for a win, Scott.
It isn't. And I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that the offensive line needs something. I don't know what it is. This line is too talented to not be playing well. And, you know, I think that's really what's crippling the offense. Is Dylan Morris playing well? I don't think he's playing as well as he could, but I think a lot of that has to do with the amount of times he's been hit. I think a lot of it has to do with the wide receivers not being able to even have time to get open. And I think when you can't establish a running game, I mean, Michigan just loaded the box. There were 9 against 7. And we see that in spring football and fall camp when they run that drill. And that's one of the reasons why, is because they want to be able to run the ball. And this offensive line is just clueless. I mean, you can tell they just don't know what they're doing. They either lack confidence or their communication is bad. But one way or the other, the offensive line is really, in my opinion, the culprit behind this. And I'm not saying John Donovan is doing a great job, and that argument on whether he should still be here or still should be the offensive coordinator will be a conversation for the entire season, but he's been handicapped by that offensive line just playing absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, you know, it's just, it all starts up front with that offensive line. They can't get the run game going, and when you can't get the run game going, it makes it difficult to pass the ball. And part of the other problem too is, you know, I'm down here on the field, and boy, Dylan Morris, he's just locked on to guys. I mean, rarely am I seeing him looking to the second or third guy. It's the first guy's not open and he's staring him down the whole way. And if that guy's not there, he's just dumping it down. But, you know, a lot of the times he's got guys in his face. You're not getting the running game going. They're not respecting the play action. And, you know, Sky, you mentioned it. I mean, they're putting nine guys in the box and they're still running it up the middle.
Yeah. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's because they don't feel like they can block on the edges very well. And so they've got to run it up the middle and they think that's the strength of their team. But, you know, Luke Wattenberg wasn't getting it done. Henry Bainavalu really struggled. Julius Bulow just, I don't get it. And, you know, honestly, I just can't seem to put my finger on the pulse of what's going on. I mean, if we're going to just blame it on bad coaching, this blanket, it's bad coaching or it's bad players or whatever it is, it needs to get fixed. And I don't know if Washington has enough horses to get it fixed. And this could be a very, very long season.
Well, Chris, the talent's there, though. I mean, I think that's what, you know, bothers a lot of people. This is a pretty good offensive line. Those running backs should be doing better. I think the quarterback situation is still suspect. A lot of people want to blame the play calling. A lot of people want to blame John Donovan. But at the end of the day, this is the offense. I mean, people, I'm not convinced this is John Donovan's offense. I'm convinced that this is what Jimmy Lake wants to do. And I think it's got his fingerprints all over it. He wants to run the ball. He wants to be physical, and that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, it feels like Jimmy tried to fit the proverbial round peg in the square hole and either doesn't have the players for it or doesn't have the coaches for it. Because I'm convinced that John Donovan is well-schooled enough in both pro style, college style, any style you want. He could run you any offense you want to run. That's not the issue. The issue is, do they have the players to run what Jimmy Lake wants to run? And right now, I'm not seeing it, and I'm also not seeing the coaches being able to do the coaching and the teaching that's required to get this scheme done as well. So ultimately, this is just a massive backfire on Jimmy Lake. I mean, this is Jimmy Lake putting this mandate together, but he's doing it with either coaches that are ill-equipped for the job or players that are ill-equipped for the job. Either way, it's not working.
Scott, was there anything different on offense that we, you know, can say was different than we saw a week ago against Montana?
Well, the receivers were a little bit better. It was good to see Terrell Bynum get out there and make some catches. 115 yards on 5 grabs, had the nice touchdown grab as well, had a one-handed reception down the sidelines. You know, I mean, they have one of their most explosive playmakers back. And so I'd like to see a few more throws down the field to him early when the game is still undecided and something that could impact the game. But, you know, other than that, no, not a lot other than the wide receivers having a few more hands to throw the ball to.
Did I see Jalen McMillan out there?
He did. Oh, yeah. He played. Yep. I think he got in. I counted about 5 plays, but it wasn't a lot. I think it was a bit early for him, though. I mean, anybody who thought he was going to contribute a lot after the injury he suffered, that, you know, from what we've heard, you know, he had surgery on his hand. And if that's the case, I mean, coming back in, what was it, 4 weeks? That was pretty quick.
Am I just making things too simplistic, Chris? And am I just pointing the finger where it doesn't belong? But it just seems like to me, the offensive line's the problem. And if they can just shore that up, that's going to make a big difference. You're going to be able to open up the running game. You're going to be able to not get your quarterback hit all the time. You're going to give them a little more time. But is it that simple? Is getting the offensive line to improve?
Well, Kim, ultimately, when it comes down to it, what makes every offense run? Execution.
Yeah.
But you have to execute. And you have to execute in all the phases. The running backs have to do their job. The tight ends have to do their job. The receivers have to do their job. But if one piece isn't working, then it basically fouls up the entire works. And right now the offensive line isn't cutting it. And so when they're not cutting it, everything else falls apart as a result, and it makes it look horrible. It makes the coaches look horrible, and it makes the whole thing look ridiculous. And so it all falls on top of each other. If you're not executing, all they got to do is just start executing the thing. And I don't know if that means you got to even just pare it back even more and try to get super, super simple. But it's just, it's crazy because you could see in the third and fourth quarters, you could see guys when Dylan Morris was able to get back to pass and Michigan wasn't trying to heat him up and they were just having kind of one-on-one blocking stuff. He had all day to throw because Michigan wasn't throwing stunts at him. They weren't throwing games at him at the line of scrimmage. They weren't trying to heat him up like they were earlier in the game because the game was already done by that point. And then they looked great. But when the game's in the balance and the defensive line is throwing all sorts of stuff at them, they are ill-equipped. And so ultimately I put that on Scott Huff. I mean, Scott, I don't know what Scott Huff is coaching them nowadays, but cause you're right, Kim, they have the talent. The talent shouldn't be the issue. This is still basically the same group of guys they had in 2020. And if anything, they've added to it and they have more experience. So they have to figure out, John Donovan, Scott Huff, all the offensive coaches, they have to figure out a way to be able to execute something simple, something where they can just open a lane for a running back and do something, because everything that was run between the tackles tonight felt like they were just running into a wall. And that's ridiculous. Like, that can't happen when you're supposed to be trying to impose yourself with your run game.
Scott, do you think they're afraid to let Dylan Morris go? Do you think they've got some handcuffs on him because he's an inexperienced quarterback?
Hard to tell. I mean, they didn't seem to have it on him later in the game, but maybe that's because they felt the pressure that they needed to
open things up
a little bit. But I think it was pretty obvious that they had some handcuffs on him, at least early on. But then again, it was his first road start ever. And it was in front of 108,000 people. So in a maze out, and their offensive line wasn't playing very well. So can you really let plays develop down the field? I don't know.
Well, it's just kind of, you know, and like I said, I don't understand it, but you know, they're stacking the box and then the passes they're throwing are all behind the chains. And it just seems like, you know, in order to get a first down, you have to have a receiver catch the ball behind the chains and make a move and, you know, get those yards after catch. And, you know, it just seems like Washington's, you know, playing against a defense in a box, and Washington's offense is trying to play in a box, and it's just not working. I mean, it's just not working. I mean, they went the first half without a touchdown. They made it six consecutive quarters without a touchdown. They only scored 10 points, you know, so that's 13 points in 10 games.
Yeah.
It's 17 points, but yeah.
And
yeah,
you have to remember too, this was all done. The scoring was pretty much done when it was out of reach. I mean, when they scored their field goal, it was already 17-0. And that was more than enough points for this particular defense at this point going against Washington, because first of all, they don't have that explosive component. They showed a little bit of it in the end of the third and fourth quarters, because like I said, Michigan was just kind of allowing them to kind of be in the bend but don't break mode, because they knew that Washington didn't have enough firepower to just all of a sudden score in a minute and make it interesting. And then on top of it, when you have a stop on third down and you give up the taunting penalty, like we talked about with Dominique Campton, and that leads to a score, that just underscores that, you know, coaching was a major failure in this game. I mean, we saw a lot of that kind of taunting and a lot of that kind of gamesmanship in fall camp. And we were told that discipline was not going to be an issue and these types of things. And then you see that play and it's like, okay, all right.
Did Hampton return after that?
Not that I'm aware of, but he may have. They just pointed to him on the sidelines a couple times, you know, after that touchdown hit, and that was an issue. So, you know, it didn't look like a lot of guys were rallying around him on the sidelines. I mean, he clearly knew he had made a mistake. But it's kind of funny because you see those guys. And then when it happens, they are so like, you know what, me? I did something wrong? When it's like so blatant what he did.
When you're bending at the waist to a guy on the ground, flags are going to get thrown every time. Yeah. Unless your hand is extended to help him up. And that's obviously wasn't what it was happening. But that was just a key turning point in the game.
Michigan went down and scored a touchdown, and then the other one was the fake field goal. You know, it wasn't a big gain, but Michigan converted on that, which was huge.
You mean fake punt?
The fake punt, I meant, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was early in the game, and that, I mean, I guess maybe that was an early statement of intent by Harbaugh that he was willing to maybe take some chances. But the real damning thing is, and yeah, I don't want to just pile on Bob Gregory, you know, because he did say the number one thing that they had to do in the offseason was stop the run, and they couldn't stop anything tonight as far as the run was concerned. I mean, you had one of their running backs go for 171 yards. The other running back went for 155. And that's the thing. It's like you can't have your defense be on the field for 34 minutes and then expect that to just be able to be stout for the entire time. Eventually the dam was going to break, but the problem was the dam didn't really break at the end. The dam was always kind of getting breached slowly but surely over the course of the entire game. And, you know, how do you win by three touchdowns when your quarterback goes 7 of 15 for 44 yards? Well, we saw it tonight, and it was because Michigan had a mandate to go out and run the ball and stuff it down Washington's throat and be physical and make a statement. And that's exactly what they did. And Washington took it.
They get out physical again today, guys.
Oh, every which way, every which way.
Yeah. Yes. I would say that's pretty good read on it.
They got out physical last week. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Yes.
I'm not 100% there, but they did not play well. Yes.
At the line of scrimmage, they got out physical by Montana. Yes.
I'm not on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. In the fourth quarter, when Montana wanted to run the ball and they wanted to kill the clock, they were able to do that. That when their quarterback went out of the game and Washington knew they were going to run the ball, they absolutely knew they were going to run the ball on like third and 12, whatever it was. And they got a first down. Yeah, that's getting out physical live scrimmage.
Yeah, you know, just taking a look at the stats real quick. Richard Newton, 12 carries for 24 yards. Cam Davis, 9 carries for 22 yards. Dylan Morris, 20 of 37 for 293 and a touchdown. Taj Davis, 6 receptions for 78 yards. Terrell Bynum, 5 for 15 with a touchdown. Giles Jackson. 115. Giles Jackson, 3 for 49 yards. Cade Otten, 3 of 33. And just by the way, just when Dylan Morris is in trouble, he tends to look at Cade Otten. It doesn't matter if Cade's triple covered sometimes, he's throwing it at Cade Otten. Eddie Olafoscio, 13 tackles. Jackson Sermon with 12. Team-wise, 3 total tackles for loss, no turnovers, no sacks so far this season. They didn't have any against Montana, did they?
Nope. They did not.
32 rushes for 50 yards. That's 1.6 yards per carry. Michigan, 56 attempts on the ground for 343. That's 6.1 yards per carry. So that's 1.6 yards for Washington, 6.1 for Michigan. So, I mean, there it is. I mean, it was ground game. I mean, I think all of us knew going in that both teams wanted to establish the run and then play tough physical defense. One team was able to do it, the other team wasn't.
Yeah, I think ultimately when it comes down to it, Michigan trusted their schemes, their philosophy, their players to get the job done by doing what they do best, played to their strengths. And Washington doesn't have an identity right now. They have zero identity on the offensive side of the ball. They have a little bit more of an identity on the defensive side of the ball, but flat out, when Michigan wanted to run the ball, they were able to run the ball flat out. And I thought Washington did a very nice job for the most part, but ultimately, again, when you don't force the quarterback at Michigan to throw more than 15 times, you haven't gotten the job done. You've allowed them to play to their strengths. You've allowed them to be one dimensional, but in the wrong way. And that's ultimately what I think they'll probably regret the most, is that, you know, the whole offseason was supposedly built toward trying to stop the run by putting an extra defensive lineman in there. They did that a lot today. Still didn't really factor in. in the final result.
Scott, looking at this game, you know, and just looking at what Michigan did, that's what Washington wanted to do.
Yeah.
They just did. I mean, that's exact what you saw from Michigan. That's what Jimmy Lake viewed this team as being able to do this year. It's just not happening.
Yep. And the thing is, I would say this, that Michigan basically wore Washington down. I just think toward the end, I think the defense knew they had to try and make some plays, and they got out of their lanes and things like that. They were playing the run relatively well early on, and just weren't able to hold up. You know, I'm still of the opinion that this defense is a lot better than it's looked, especially this week. But you know, they've got to get out there and prove it. Now next week, Arkansas State, you know, those guys can throw it around a little bit. So I don't know if they can run it. And Washington has to figure out a way to stop that run, make them one-dimensional. You want to make a team one-dimensional one way or the other. And until Washington's able to do that, and tonight Michigan was one-dimensional. The problem is they chose to be one-dimensional because they were having so much success.
Well, how much better is Washington's defense if their offense is able to score?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think their defense could play a little bit better because Michigan might not be able to just line up and hand it off and not worry about what the Husky offense is going to do. And but at this point, they're going to have to – they need to cause a turnover. They need to strip the ball. They need to get a pick. They need to do something. And until that happens, it's going to be very, very tough offensively to score points.
Well, this team isn't built to come from behind either. I mean, I know they were able to do it last year against Utah, but if this team has to come from behind with the weapons and the tools that they have, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
So
I don't either.
All right. Long, frustrating day at Michigan, and it's going to be another interesting week for the fan base in Seattle. Even if they were to win next week against Arkansas State, it's still Arkansas State, and it's not going to be enough. Mm-hmm. So interesting time ahead. So anything else that jumps out for you guys?
Just the general idea that, you know, for we were talking about, you know, for those of us that might put the tin hat on and think that maybe to their detriment, they were holding something back against Montana, and just maybe it just didn't happen, you know, or they waited too late or what have you. They didn't hold anything back. I didn't see a lot of wrinkles in what they did against Michigan. I did not see a ton of new things. I saw a lot of running into the wall, a couple of plays to stretch. You know, they did some more things down the field in the passing game. But again, that started to happen when the game was out of reach and Michigan was just kind of playing bend but don't break, just allow them a little bit or whatever. They were playing a little bit more, a little softer zones and things like that, which allowed Morris time in the pocket for one thing. But even so, even when he had a little bit of time, like he had one first down pass to Giles Jackson where Jackson could have gone for 30, 40 yards. He was so wide open and he just blitzed it right past. I mean, he wasn't even close to him. And that kind of summed up the night for Dylan Morris and the fact that showing just if you get a little bit more poise, just a little bit more presence and just kind of just put the ball out there instead of having to drill it in 100 miles an hour, you can complete a pass and make a big play and start to feel a little bit better about yourself and gain some confidence and gain the trust of, you know, your team. So, but at this point, it's tough. You know, it is what it is. And we knew it was going to be tough, especially after losing to Montana, but you know, you've got to somehow push through it and move on. And now you have a totally different animal in Arkansas State. And you're right. Ultimately, guys, they can win that game 45-0, and it's not going to change anybody's opinion of how they feel about guys like John Donovan and Scott Huff and Bob Gregory and all those guys. Those guys, I'm not sure there's a way back for those guys at this point for a certain part of the fan base.
Scott, everybody's player is the guy who's not playing. So, you know, Sean McGrew seems to be his fan favorite right now. Make any difference with Sean McGrew in there?
Absolutely not. Nope. I mean, would it be nice to maybe see if it would? Yeah, sure, I guess. But no, he's not going to do anything more than these guys did.
No yeah. seams, no seams. I mean, it's
There's
like
no
I
holes.
Keep on.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like I said, I don't think Sean's any better running into brick walls than these guys. And the other guy that seems to be the fan favorite, when teams are losing, everybody wants to change a quarterback. Make a difference with putting Patrick O'Brien or Sam Heward in?
Yeah, it could be worse. Yeah. Yep. It could be. It ain't going to be better. It ain't going to be better.
Patrick O'Brien, I mean, he's a big guy who stands back in the pocket and throws the football. He's not mobile. And Sam Heward, I know he's a five-star. I think he's incredibly talented. Yep. I'm still believing he's going to be
great
the starter.
Future.
Some,
yep.
Yeah, I think honestly, guys, I think it could be different. I think it could be different. I think some of the things that you talked about, Scott, with Dylan locking in on guys really early and not giving himself much of an option. And then when he starts to roll out, you see a lot of boots and throws out of bounds and things like that. We may not necessarily see a lot more of that from a guy like Sam Heward, but you're opening yourself up to a lot more interceptions, a lot more risk-taking, which, to be honest with you, I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there that are like, yeah, it can't get any worse, so why not take some chances? That's fine. But ultimately, the coaches are going to go with the guy that they trust and they think will be the best chance for them to run the offense. And clearly, they still think that's Dylan Morris right now. Could that be Sam Heward or Patrick O'Brien by Arkansas State? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I still think that competition is up for grabs no matter
people
what.
People were calling for Heward to be put in tonight. And I said, weren't you the same people clamoring for Jake Haner in at Cal in 2019? When Washington actually had a lead.
Yeah.
Sam would get killed out here.
Yeah.
He'd get killed.
Yeah.
He'd get
not,
killed.
He's not ready. He is not ready. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so another interesting thing, you know, and I know it's a pandemic and things are different, but, you know, we didn't get Jimmy Lake. We got him on Monday. We did not get him the day before they left. They left on Thursday, which is typically the day that we would talk to Jimmy Lake. We did not get him. We did not get John Donovan. We did not get Scott Huff. We got neither one of those guys. Today we got two players and we got Coach Lake. It'll be interesting to see if we're able to get Scott Huff or John Donovan.
Yeah, can guarantee you that Junior Adams will probably be the guy, or Durham Cato will probably be the coaches that are available on Tuesday. And you're
they've
not
been, they've been they pretty should, much giving us the same this, they've been pretty much giving us the same coaches and the same guys every week. So
well, they I mean, choose who we get. No, we don't get to really request.
Yeah, they've tightened it up.
Guys, yeah. I was going to say, guys, as long as things are as toxic as they are right now and they keep losing, they're going to close ranks. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't expect it. I hope people just prepare themselves. Like, you can be pissed, but don't expect anything more, because it ain't going to happen.
Final thoughts, Chris Fetters.
Yeah, just I predicted 27-10. What was the result? 31-10. It was about what I thought it was going to be. I didn't think Michigan was going to be able to run that well against Washington, but clearly they had a game plan in mind that they were going to shove it down Washington's throat, and they did that time and time and time again, and Washington took it, and they didn't really have a response. And it's hard to get a response sometimes when you have to be out there for 34 minutes. So I'm not going to place a ton of blame on the defense for this particular game, especially when the offense laid such a huge egg so early on in the game, you know, when they have a chance. I mean, the best scenario for Michigan tonight would have been to win the toss, defer, and then put that defense out there in front of that maze out and just let them go to work. And that's exactly what happened. And Washington offered no resistance to it. I mean, it's a script you could have played out 10 times out of 10, knowing how this team was, knowing how fragile the trust was and how fragile the confidence was and all the things that were going into this game. You could just see it happen and you knew it was going to happen. So unfortunately, it all played out, and now they've got to regroup and try to win a game at this point. We'll see where wins come from at this point. If the offense, especially starting with the offensive line, can't do anything, they're going to be in for a real long season, and it already feels long.
Scott Eklund, final thoughts, wrap it up.
Yeah, not a lot different than Chris. You know, it's the offense looks terrible. This is not the offense we saw in fall camp, And I don't know what's going to change that. I just don't know. I think I'm at a loss. I think most people who cover this team are at a loss to give fans a real explanation of what's going on there. But yeah, it needs to change, and it better change quickly, because this team is in serious danger of missing a bowl game. And if people laugh at that, hey, it's much easier to sell a program that made it to a bowl game and is able to say, hey, we need to do this and that. We need to do a couple more things before we can make it back and that push. But I mean, you're talking about a team that, I mean, and they can be beaten by anybody else on any of the other 10 teams on their schedule now. Boy, that's going to be tough to take, especially for this fan base. You can see very empty Husky Stadium.
If you guys are wondering what all the background noise is, I'm actually sitting inside the stadium on the Husky bench at about the 40-yard line while they're trying to tear the stadium apart, as opposed to being in the media room, which is quite claustrophobic. A lot of people and not much ventilation in there, so I'm kind of taking the safe route. It's kind of mild and cool out here. But for those of you who were at the game, let me just, you're going to understand what I'm saying, but Steve Hutchinson was a major guy before the stadium. They honored Steve Hutchinson. He was an All-American guard here. He was a Hall of Famer for the Seattle Seahawks. But a couple of things that really jump out at you at the stadium. Well, first of all, everybody knows it's huge. 108,340 was the announced attendance. But when you take a look around, there is not one bit of advertising in this entire stadium. Nothing, not one advertisement. No, nothing. I mean, there is absolutely no advertising in here. The video boards during the break, they're focusing on the fans. They're playing songs that the fans seem to know all the words for. You know, there's a lot of fan engagement going on in here. It's a true college town here in Ann Arbor, and it feels like it. It doesn't feel like the corporate stuff that we tend to get in a lot of the Pac-12 stadiums. But, you know, when you're selling 108,000 tickets and you've got revenues from 108,000 tickets, and then you've got additional, you know, what, $12 million more a year in TV money, you can afford to do the kind of stuff they're doing here. But it's pretty impressive here. It just seems to go on forever. I mean, it's a big stadium. So a cool atmosphere. My hat's off to them. You know, really good fans. I would say the stadium was about half full an hour before the game. And I'd say most of the fans stayed until the end. So really good atmosphere inside the stadium. And my hat's off to Michigan. They do it right here. So it's a cool atmosphere and a cool setting. Unfortunately, Huskies come out on the wrong end of the stick today, a 31-10 loss to Michigan. So it's going to be a fun week in Seattle on the message boards and on the site. We will survive it. So back at it again on Monday. Coach Jimmy Lake. So I'm sure the questions will be lined up. So for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grenolds along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.